Good morning again. So I just wanted to share with our visitors that I traveled to England for a couple of weeks for continuing education. And so therefore we're going a little retro on our King James Version. We don't usually read from King James, and a lot of our prayers are Wesleyan prayers, so just know that we don't always speak in Old English in our church. So, but I think it's fun and important for us to also go back to our roots every once in a while as a great reminder. So today's theme is personal holiness. This morning we'll talk about personal holiness through a quote found on umc.org. We'll reflect on our scripture from Luke, and then we'll look at my time at a church in Didsbury, England, about a month ago now, as an example of how this is being lived out. And finally, we'll continue to ask, why Wesley? So let's start with the quote. Methodism started as a movement to inspire and train disciples for Christian living and to spread scriptural holiness across the land. John Wesley, our founder, taught that Christian living was to practice the means of grace and that scriptural holiness was the combination of personal holiness, or a transformation of the heart, and social holiness, a transformation of the world. So let's break this down a little bit. First of all, transformation of the heart. Just like the Tin Man, his heart was transformed. The means of grace. Some of the means of grace are the ways in which we open up our experience with God. It might be through prayer. It might be through studying the scriptures. And it's not moving. There we go. Studying scriptures, Holy Communion, fasting, and Christian conferencing, or a small group. Those are all means of grace, ways in which we open ourselves up to experience God. Wesley took this so seriously that off of his bedroom, he had a prayer room. It was about as big as a walk-in closet today. I took this picture. It was amazing that now we store our stuff in a big closet, but John Wesley saved that space for a Bible and for prayer. And so the next slide. There we go. This is a picture of a closer up of the Bible and the table that was in there. Okay. And then this is his backwards chair. So you see that chair that, not the one close up front, but the one that's a little further back. It's like a T in the back. So this chair actually is so that you can sit forward like normal people sit in a chair, or you can turn around and put your legs like around each side of that middle part, and you can read either way. Study the scriptures either way. Scriptural holiness was the combination of personal holiness, a transformation of heart, and social holiness. So let's reflect on our scripture from the prodigal son and see how it can relate to today. This is one of my extremely favorite scriptures, the prodigal son. And so we kind of went over it. Oops. Sorry. Okay, we didn't get that one. So the prodigal son, so Joyce just told it to you, but I'm going to tell you my version of it a little bit. So there's two sons, and there's a father, and the younger son says, hey, I want out of this place. I want my inheritance now, and I'm going to take off. And so the dad says, okay, go ahead, takes his money, and he goes and does his thing out in the world. The older son stays and works and does whatever the father asks him to do on the land and in the farm. The younger son, of course, well, who can relate to being the younger son? Is there anyone who wanted to go out into the world and experience things on their own and figure it out? Oh, no, you guys are, I don't believe whose hands aren't going up. there's got to be more hands out there. And so the younger son goes out into the world, and he finds that this money doesn't last, he doesn't spend it well, et cetera, et cetera. He tries to, you know, work, but it didn't work out, and he knew his father treated people, the farm workers and servants, well. So he finally says, you know what, I'm going to go back to my father's house with my tail between my legs, and I'm going to ask to be a servant in my father's house. So he goes back to his father's house, and the scripture I read, I like to look at different translations, and the translation I read last night said, the father saw the son way off. So it wasn't like the son knocked on the door. It was like the father was looking for the son every day, looking. Is my son coming home today? Is my son coming home today? He sees him way out there, and the father runs to greet his son, hugs and kisses him and says, let's have a party because you're back. So they have a party. And the older son, who's been there all along, isn't very happy, and that's what Joyce read. That older son is like, are you kidding me? I've been here working with you all this time, and I've never had a party. And the father says, today you have always been with me, and all that I have is yours. But your brother, my son, was lost for dead. He could have been dead. And now he's found. I love this. What if that's what it's like with us and God? God is looking for us way out there, waiting every day, day in, day out, watching for us to come to God. What if? How are we as a Church Universal welcoming home people? Welcoming home God's child, God's children. I'd like to show you a couple examples of what I discovered in Didsbury, England, which is a suburb of Manchester. So this church really struck me. It's called Emmanuel, because it kind of reminded me of this church, both the people in it, but also the physical structure. So let's check this out. You see the high ceilings and the wood? Doesn't that look like our ceiling? And then there's a stained glass windows all across the sides and in the back. And so what they've done is they have actually moved their focal point from the end of the rectangle to the side of the rectangle. And here you'll see it here. See, they've moved it here. And it wasn't totally set up yet, so they didn't have their candles and stuff burning yet. But that I took the picture because I thought it was really, really interesting. And this is their new mission at Emmanuel Church. Oh, not that one. We'll get there. Nope. It is this one. So as I said, we had a little interesting snafu this morning, so forgive us for not having our slides just right. Do you see what that wood says? What does it say on there? Belonging, believing, becoming. So how does one feel they belong or even belong to the church? I bet the younger son felt he belonged when his father greeted him with a hug and a kiss and a party. Emmanuel Church has this on the outside of their door. Can you read that? Welcome home. They have a cafe. Their cafe is, you can see, attached right to the building. And it's open 5 to 7 days a week to the public. Many individuals and families and groups are regular attenders to the cafe. They feel they belong to the church cafe. In addition, the congregation built another building on their property to create more large group meeting space for the community. They have 30 outside groups that meet regularly in their church. They feel they belong to the church. So this is something that I'm wrestling with, and I'm hoping you'll wrestle with me on this. So do they belong, even if they do not attend worship? It seems that people feel they belong, and the church is standing kind of like that father in our scripture, with their arms wide open, ready to give them a hug and a party. They're welcoming them. They feel they belong. Even if they aren't quite ready to attend worship, the congregation is ready when they do attend worship to give them a hug and a kiss and a party. What if it's our job as the church to be that father, ready to welcome all of God's children? All the children who have gone and come back, all the sinners, all the people who thought they didn't belong. What if it's our job to be saying, welcome home? You were lost, but now you are found. What if folks outside the church think we are more like the older son? And what if it's our job to shift these thoughts through our actions of both personal holiness, opening ourselves up to the experience of God, and social holiness, reaching out? We've talked about personal holiness with our quote from umc.org. We've reflected on our scripture and explored one example from my class. We are left with only one thing. Why Wesley? It seems John Wesley led by example in following Jesus through prayer, through studying scriptures, and through compassion to others. Wesley was not perfect, but gave a wonderful formula of experiencing God's love and sharing God's love through everyday living. And our offertory today may touch your heart and remind all of us that we are to choose love over and over and over. Amen.